Well, may I begin, first of all, once more, wanting to wish everyone here, every family, a very happy Christmas.
And just for a few minutes, we're going to be thinking a little bit more about the reading that we had just a few minutes ago. But before we get to that reading, I don't know whether you feel, like me, that sometimes you like to make a kind of statement. Now, I can see that there's one or two Christmas jumpers around, but I have to say, I bring this one out each year. My brother-in-law, he goes all the way to London to see the lights, but I brought the lights to you today.
Well, yeah, I hope I've anyway.
So I've already saved you a train fare to go and see the lights on Oxford Street. Now, what we're going to think about, first of all, is, I don't know about you, but sometimes at Christmas we have dilemmas, don't we? I don't know whether you have dilemmas. You know, maybe even going right back into the summer, who are you going to invite to come and celebrate Christmas with you? Or are you going to be going to stay with somebody else? It's a dilemma, isn't it? Well, I was doing a bit of research. Now, one of the number one dilemma is paying for Christmas. I don't know whether you... there are some families that start thinking about paying for Christmas in January. And they spend the whole year getting ready to pay to celebrate Christmas. We thought about the dilemma of the visiting we might do. But here comes a dilemma that all families seem to have, is when do you open your presents? I want to do a quick survey on this because I'm interested. Do you open your presents on Christmas Eve? Not everyone. I open some presents on Christmas Eve. Do you open your presents on Christmas morning? Or do you open your presents on Christmas afternoon? Sometimes maybe after the King's speech. Let's do a quick survey. We've got some royalists in the house. Okay, here we go. If you open on Christmas Eve, could you put your hands up? There's one or two. Yeah, well, that's good. Now, who opens their presents on Christmas morning? Oh, there's a few who can't wait. Yeah, okay. Put your hands out. And for those who are, you know, feel that it's the afternoon, it's Christmas afternoon, and that's the time to open the presents, put your hands up. Oh, right. Well, I think the afternoon just about wins on that one. But I was surprised that one of the big dilemmas that I came across this week in my research is this. And this is controversial, I've got to say. Yorkshire pudding. Do you have Yorkshire pudding with your Christmas lunch? Ah, right. Well, let's do a quick show of hands. If you think, and if you're from Yorkshire, that might sway your vote. If you think, yes, Yorkshire pudding and Christmas dinner go together, would like to raise your hands. Oh, yes, there's some family members at the back there. Put your hands up. And if you think no, would you like to raise your hands? I think the no's have it. Well, I don't know whether you realise that in our story, Joseph was a man with a dilemma. He had a dilemma. Wow, did he have a dilemma. The very first Christmas. You see, God was on the move. God had already chosen Mary, a virgin, to be the mother of Jesus. Now, the conception of Jesus was absolutely unique. But there was no need for a human father because the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary and she had conceived and was pregnant with a baby. And God was going to send his son into the world. And the Bible tells us that his son would be born into poverty and not into splendor. And there was a great need then for someone to care for this boy as he would grow up. And God had chosen someone to play the part. Joseph, sometimes thought as the forgotten man in the Christmas story. He was a man who honored God with his life and also was totally committed to God. And I read the passage, I saw a man who faced, however, quite a big dilemma. Here again, the words that come from Matthew. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You see, he had a dilemma. Joseph was to play, God wanted him to play a really important role. Joseph was a loving and compassionate man, but he also had a great concern for Mary. Here was a man who trusted God and trusted God's word. And you can imagine the kind of things that were going through Joseph's mind, can't you? Wow, what things must have gone through his mind. His dreams for the future were shattered when he heard the news. You see, engagement in those days was binding. And he was going to now have to divorce her because he knew that he wasn't the father. He faced a dilemma that very first Christmas. And no doubt when he had that dilemma, like many of us, when we have a dilemma, we toss and turn, and we find it really difficult to get to sleep. But eventually he got to sleep. And when he got to sleep, he had a dream. And boy, did he have a dream. Again, in Matthew, Matthew writes this, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, did you realize, you may not know this, that you dream every 45 minutes when you're asleep? Now, I want to just check this out. When a person dreams, they have what's called REM. You know what REM is? It's rapid eye movement. So your eyes are closed, but underneath your eyes are moving backwards and forwards. Could you just check the person next to you, just in case they're dreaming? Okay. Rapid eye movement. And I came across, by the way, dogs dream. Didn't know that, did you? I didn't know that until this week. Now, the Bible says dreams were always very important. Dreams always in the Bible were around momentous events. And here in Matthew's Gospel, we have a series of dreams all related to that first Christmas. And in these dreams, God revealed his purposes. And Matthew wants all his readers to know that God is really mightily at work as he would reveal his plans. This is what it says. The Lord said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sin, from their sins. Now that really, if that didn't wake him up, I don't know. Wow, what a thing to be told. But God, you see, is making plain to Joseph that he is behind this baby. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you realize that Matthew was told some incredible things. First of all, he was told the sex of the baby. Now, this is the days before we ever have any kind of scans and visits to the hospital and pictures and so forth. He's told not only, he's told it's a boy. But then comes another shock in the dream. He's told the name of the child. Now, you see, I'm going to embarrass them now. My daughter and her husband, they're going to have a baby, which is great. And I think they're probably spending hours trying to think of the name for their baby that's going to come. Joseph and Mary, you'd think they would be the ones who would choose the name. But no, God chose the name. And he chose the name Jesus. Now, I want to give you a chance here. I'm going to do a mime something to you, and you've got to work it out, because I have a middle name. Now, I've known my middle name most of my life, but strangely, I've only found the meaning of my middle name this year. So I don't know why it's taken me all this time to find the meaning, but it did. So here comes the clue, and see if you can work out what my middle name is. Watch carefully. Here it comes. Ah, I'll do it again just in case. One more time, just in case you didn't see it first time. I heard a voice. Hands. My middle name is Hans. I am Peter Hans. Now, everyone knows that Peter means rock. So we won't go into anything else it means. Peter means rock, but Hans, do you know what Hans means? Hans means a gift from God. God is gracious. Now, I've got to tell you, I thought that was amazing. I'm not sure whether my parents thought I was always a gift from God, but anyway, that's another story. But Joseph is told that Jesus has a name and he's even told its meaning. Now, when they named Jesus was a really common name in those days. But Jesus, the angel says, will be the Jesus who will save his people from their sins, from their selfishness. Now, that's good news for us this morning, because we too need to be saved from our selfishness and our sins. But he had a second name, didn't he? Emmanuel. And again, he's told the meaning. It means God with us. So Jesus isn't any ordinary little boy. Jesus is God with us. God stepped down into history so that he might know us, love us, and that we might know and love God. An amazing dream. But our passage finishes on this Christmas morning with a decision. We've had a dilemma, we've had a dream, and there's a decision. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. When he woke up, what a decision he faced. Would he follow the dream? Would he honor what God has said in the word of prophet Isaiah? Wonder how his life might have turned out if he turned away. Joseph reached the decision. He'd faced the dilemma, he'd had a dream, now came the decision. And his decision was to step out in faith and believe God and believe his word. Here we are at the end of 2023. We too can face big decisions about all kinds of things. But I want to say this morning, whether you're a teenager, whether you're just got married or going to get married, or whether you've been married a long time or you're near into retirement, we too face a decision. Will we, like Joseph, the forgotten man, will we follow Jesus? Will we trust God that he is the only Savior, the one that can save us from our sins, the one that can introduce us to the Lord? And look at the decision Joseph takes. The end of the passage says this, but he did not consummate his marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, what has our little passage told us this Christmas? Joseph faced a dilemma. God gave him an amazing dream, but he reached an awe-inspiring decision to trust God. What a way to start Christmas, by trusting God. As we sit, let me encourage us to bow our heads. I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you that you are still looking for people like Joseph. You're looking for people this morning who will trust you. Father, I thank you for everyone here who is already in step with you. But maybe there's just one person who is on the edge of doing that. Encourage them to make this Christmas a special Christmas, to follow you all their days. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.